of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
It looks like your luggage is over 50 pounds. Is there anything you can take out?
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss all these $20 bills.
Great. Let me grab you a trash can.
Stop. Instead of throwing money away, move some clothes into a carry-on. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a new Samsung Galaxy A15 for just $99. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Good talk.
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. In-store activation on single Silver Unlimited plan or higher required. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Former President Trump is expected in a federal courtroom in Florida today for a closed-door hearing in the case that accuses him of illegally keeping classified documents. He also faces a deadline today to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to pause his election interference case to appeal a lower court ruling that he's immune from criminal prosecution. The FBI has joined the investigation into a shooting at a Houston megachurch.
The 2 p.m. Sunday service at Lakewood Church is conducted in Spanish. Pastor Jorge Basave had just begun the live stream. Gunshots are heard and people are seen running behind Basave. A woman who had brought a rifle into the building was shot and killed by off-duty law enforcers. Police and the FBI are searching a home thought to be connected to the suspect.
Police say the words "Free Palestine" were found on the gun used in the shooting. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin will miss this week's NATO meetings in Brussels while he's hospitalized for a bladder issue. This is ABC News. Charles Darwin is credited with introducing the concept of evolution. Today, researchers are marking what would have been his 250th birthday.
For the first time, the entirety of Charles Darwin's personal library is now available on the internet for free. The Darwin Online Project has published hundreds of thousands of books, journals, manuscripts, and images from the naturalist. Many are appearing online for the first time, including some newly discovered items. That means anyone with an internet connection can comb through Darwin's favorite novels, his personal correspondence, even illustrations. Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
A change to political content on Meta platforms. Instagram and Threads will stop recommending political content proactively from accounts that you don't follow. But users can opt in to see political posts, including election-related topics. The platform says it wants to make Instagram and Threads a great experience for everyone. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a new Samsung Galaxy A15 for just $99. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Good talk.
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. In-store activation on single Silver Unlimited plan or higher required. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin 8th District Congressman Mike Gallagher won't be running for re-election this fall. That announcement came in a statement that the Republican Gallagher released over the weekend. During his 4 terms in the House, the Green Bay area representative has been seen as a hawk on U.S.-China relations, chairing the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. A statement from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin cited dysfunction in the House Republican caucus as the reason for Gallagher's decision. Former State Senator Roger Roth of Appleton said in a Saturday post on X that he'd run for the seat that Gallagher's vacating. Lawmakers in the Chippewa Valley want to reallocate untapped state funds toward emergency service grants.
It's $15 million allocated in the last state budget for HSHS to provide expanded mental health capacity. That never happened. State Senator Jesse James says the closure of HSHS hospitals will mean a loss of emergency services.
St. Joseph's campus and Sacred Heart campus accounted for almost 40% of the ER visits.
Two bills would free up the money and allow it to be used for grants to fund emergency services in the area. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Two people have died following shootings in southeast Wisconsin over the weekend. A shooting early Saturday morning on Milwaukee's northwest side left a 27-year-old pregnant woman dead. Police say the victim, identified by family as Kuvina Hickles, died at the scene. A 27-year-old man was arrested in connection to that shooting. Charges are pending review by the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. Meanwhile, on Saturday evening, a 20-year-old man died in a Kenosha shooting. Police say the victim had multiple gunshot wounds. An ongoing investigation is looking into that incident. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A bright and beautiful day today under sunny skies and mild temperatures as highs climb to the low 40s. We hang on to the warmth through midweek, but then a storm system strikes, bringing a wintry mix and dragging in much cooler temperatures behind it for the weekend. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
Graham, we have a lot to dive into. We're going to head back to the Cattle Industry Convention a few weeks ago. I had a conversation with then-president-elect, now officially the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Mark Isley from Wyoming. Great conversation with him. He had a lot to say. We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Also, at the end of the show, we're going to learn more about Green Careers Week with Jasmine Alboron from Seed Your Future. She's going to join us to give us a rundown of that week coming up here at the end of the program. Also on the way in segment two, we're going to talk weather with John Baranek from DTN. All that and more coming up here on today's AOA. Let's kick things off, though. Take a look at what is moving in the market trade here early in the week. Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart, is with us. And Darren, great to have you back on the show. And, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl this past weekend. So, I mean, fans in Red Kingdom are happy. At least the markets, for the most part, are not a sea of red here at Celebration this morning. So that's a good thing, right, Darren?
Yeah, you know, that's well put, Jesse. I mean, we've got some who are wearing red, particularly Kansas City Hard Red Winter Wheat. He seems to be in full celebration mode. They're wearing red this morning. But the key here is the new crop July has not taken out its contract low that it set just last week. So, yeah, it was interesting. A lot of times after the Super Bowl game, we see very quiet activity overnight through the next Monday morning. And that's exactly what we saw this morning. And I'm looking for things to pick up a little bit, but you have to keep in mind, you know, this is also the week that China's on Lunar New Year holiday. So there's not going to be as much commercial activity, at least not at not initially that what we think. There's going to be as much commercial activity this week, given China's supposedly going to stay on the sideline as it usually does.
Yeah, and that's a great point to bring up here. I think it could maybe take some volatility out of these markets here this week ahead. I know on the outside market side, we got the consumer price, producer price indexes out here later this week as well. So maybe that could add something to watch in the outside markets. But to your point about some of that export activity with China being out, I know a lot of South America has some holiday here this week as well, the Carnival holiday. So really, yeah, you talk about the commercials and thinking about CFTC data and more. I mean, it could be a pretty quiet week on that export front, Darren.
Yeah, I do think, as you mentioned, I do think it puts more emphasis on what we see from the non-commercial side. And there is a lot of room for this group to get active, you know, particularly if commercial traders are going to be on the sidelines and they're not applying brakes. You know, the theory is we could actually see volatility increase if non-commercial traders decide to do something. And as at last Friday's CFTC, you know, the latest weekly update, commitments traders, and I look at legacy futures only, we saw the soybean position, the net short futures position in soybeans, grow again to another new record large of over 160,800 contracts. Meanwhile, in corn, they added only about 4,500 contracts, putting it at, you know, about 229,005, which is still below the previous record of 2035 net short futures. So there's some room to maneuver in these markets. The other thing that's interesting is so many of the contracts, so much of the corn market itself, from futures contracts and cash indexes, all close below their nearest round number. And what that does is it, you know, based on the round number reliance, it opens the door to the next round number, which in some cases, like in the cash indexes, is a big round number of $4.
Very, very true. Well, in terms of corn as well, I know on Friday we set another new contract low in March corn, and getting below that 430 mark, that round number as you alluded to. I know for folks who are looking at the markets and thinking about spring planting and more, setting new contract lows in February in corn, not something that I think a lot of folks want to see right now in this corn trade.
No, it's a contra-seasonal move. And you know, from an analytical point of view, what's fascinating about contra-seasonal moves is that it tells us that there is something fundamentally different, something that we don't normally deal with. And in this case, again, if we just go back to the National Corn Index, it was calculated at 408, right around 408 and a half on Friday afternoon. And this put the available stocks to use, not what everybody talks about ending stocks to use. This is what the cash market's telling us about available stocks right now in relation to demand, put it at 12.8%. And if we look at monthly closes, that's still the largest since like 406 at the end of November 2020. So, I mean, we're getting into some territory here we haven't seen in quite a while. And again, it does come down to simple supply and demand. What it shows us with the cash index, and it's putting pressure on the futures market and making it so there's no fear on the non-commercial side to continue to sell these things.
I know in terms of South American weather as well, I mean, that's another aspect that is not adding fear to these markets. It sounds like Safrina corn so far is getting planted pretty much on schedule. Mm-hmm. And so you think about what we're watching in Brazil and Argentina right now. Again, just another piece that leans bearish in these grain markets, Darren.
It does. And so it'll be very interesting to hear John's latest forecast and his discussion on South America. But yeah, I mean, there it just seems like there's almost an endless supply of bearish factors in the markets these days. And, you know, so we saw, as you pointed out, March futures closed a new low, 429, low weekly close. And it was down 12, 13 cents for the week. But the problem is basis only appreciated by a quarter cent last week. So, you know, the merchandisers are also sitting back saying, look, we're going to let this market continue to fall. We'll only push it so far as the cash market in relation to futures, you know, just enough to continue to get some supplies coming in. But right now, overall supply and demand situation certainly seems, you know, there's plenty of supply to meet demand. It continues to grow. Merchandisers are comfortable. Funds are selling.
Over in the livestock trade, Darren, cattle futures starting off with some decent activity to start the week. I know in terms of packers, they finally had to step up late Friday in cash country. So this cattle market's looking fairly healthy right now.
Yeah, it is. And it was interesting to see, you know, from what I'm reading, that the cash market basically jumped up to 182. I think it was up like $3 for the week, something like that. So, you know, we did finally see that cash move. As you said, it was late. And we did already see some futures markets move. We saw the Feb rally. We saw the April live cattle markets rally. So, yeah, I mean, we've got some underlying support. The other interesting thing to me, And, you know, I'd be interested in visiting with folks in the cattle industry, what it tells them. But when we see the boxed beef spread, the spread between choice and select, it was less than $9 at Friday afternoon. To me, this is interesting that we continue to see select gaining ground on choice. And now this is some of the narrowest, this is some of the narrowest spread we've seen in years. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well.
Darren, real quick, final thoughts here as we watch the markets this week. What do you want folks to keep in mind?
You're going to be shocked by this, but this is the week of the USDA Outlook Forum. Not a big deal, but the only number I'm really interested in with all this talk about renewable diesel and so on, let's see what they have long-term estimates for crush demand, what they pencil in to their ledgers. That'll be the interesting number coming out of that.
Fantastic thoughts. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week, Darren.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at weather in North America and South America with DTN's John Baranek. He joins us next here on AOA Agriculture of America. On February's episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discussed the relationship between the corn and poultry and egg industries with John Del Monte from NCGA, along with Mary Alice Kane and Jenna Gress from the USA Poultry Egg Export Council, known as USAPEEC.
We are a trade association. We represent the U.S. poultry and egg industry who exports, and we represent all sectors. Anyone who's touched by exports and is involved in the industry can be a member of USAPEEC.
From corn's perspective, obviously the poultry industry is a big customer. So as Mary Alice and Jenna both spoke to, you know, exports are obviously an area that they specialize in. Exports account for 28 cents a bushel to the value of corn. So corn has a very vested interest in what poultry exports are doing.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, let's take a look at what is happening with weather here, not only in the U.S. and North America, but in South America. Joining us for a conversation once again this week, DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us. And John, thanks for joining us. And I know... like many folks, we had a little bit of a late night watching the big game on Sunday night, but here we are back at it on a Monday. And, you know, it seems like pretty decent weather for many folks to celebrate, I guess, if they were happy with the outcome of the big game on Sunday night here across the U.S., John, to start the week, isn't it?
Yeah, overall, not bad. I mean, we do have a system that's out down there in the southeast, and it actually produced some pretty heavy snow across West Texas into Oklahoma yesterday. There were some areas there around Lubbock and southwest of Oklahoma City that saw over 8 inches in some spots there. So that was, you know, that's significant for those folks down there for sure. That system here now is producing a little bit of band of snow. It's not as strong as it was further southwest, but from southern Missouri, and it's going to kind of go north or south of the Ohio River here for tonight into tomorrow. So we'll see some snow out of that. We've got some heavier rain down in the southeast that continues to eat away at the drought that's down there. It looks like it's now just long-term rainfall deficits that we're trying to get rid of down there. Is, you know, I don't think there's really any semblance of the drought left after how wet it's been over the last few weeks. So, you know, those folks down there are enjoying some rain. And this week is going to be kind of, it's going to be hard for me. I don't know if it's going to be hard for anybody else, but I think it's going to be hard for me because we got, you know, two competing things going on right now, Jesse. Mm-hmm. And we got two jet streams. Usually we have those during the winter time, so that's not unusual. What's unusual about it is that they're going to be trying to fight over the U.S. here for the next couple of weeks. And the northern one is setting up where it'll bring several little clipper systems through. Looks like the first one on that one starts on Wednesday. And it'll move through the northern tier of the country. We might get a nice little band of snow from South Dakota into Michigan with that. But, you know, with a clipper, it's usually a little thin band. And that starts the clipper train up going all the way through next week. At the same time, the southern jet stream is going to try and get a little active as well. And it'll try and produce a little storm system coming out of Mexico and then through the Gulf and those states there, kind of Friday, Saturday time frame. And, you know, the models aren't really sure exactly how these two jet streams are going to interact. They're going to be close, but not close enough to kind of combine. It's really difficult for models to figure out where's the precip going to be, how much are we going to see, how are temperatures going to react in the wake of these storms. So there's a lot of question marks, but overall, if you look at it, we're not looking at any super cold Arctic air. We're not looking at record highs anywhere either. So we're kind of bouncing around normal. And then precipitation, nothing looks super heavy from here on out. You know, if it's just a bunch of little clippers, they don't produce a whole heck of a lot of moisture anywhere. So, sure. I mean, if you look at it overall, I mean, there's a lot going on, but the impacts are going to be kind of minimal.
Well, to your point, John, something just with those two jets fighting and then the clipper train getting going, as you called it, that's something we haven't seen yet really this winter, especially across the north, is these, you know, clipper after clipper after clipper happening. So I guess, you know, it's something that it was bound to happen sooner or later, John.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really typical during El Nino. Usually we get this nice big ridge and it kind of blocks us from all that kind of business, and maybe Eastern Canada and the Northeast sees stuff like that. And they did kind of a little bit there in December and January, but you know, we don't really see that here over where we typically find them coming from the Western Canadian prairies through the Midwest. Mm-hmm. We haven't had that yet. You're right. So this is kind of a break, and eventually, you know, El Nino can't control the weather 100% of the time. So it's finally breaking down, and we're getting a little bit of something different and something a little bit more normal for, I guess, for winter. Usually we see this a lot during La Nina years. And maybe if we see La Nina pop back up here again this summer, we'll talk about that clipper train next winter.
Sure. Very, very true. How about the West Coast? I know that we've seen the news headlines and more, California really getting hammered by snow and rain here earlier in the month, et cetera, et cetera. How are things looking out there? Do you have a little update you could share with us in terms of what we're looking at on the West Coast right now?
Yeah, they did. They just got pounded, Jesse. I mean, they had all kinds of crazy flooding going on in California. In other parts of the region, it wasn't so bad, but California really took the brunt of it last week and the week before. This week's a lot drier. We do see another storm system kind of moving up to the north, kind of, you know, through Oregon and Washington, Idaho areas, right around Wednesday and Thursday. That'll turn into one of these clippers here for the rest of us later this week. But then we do see another storm system kind of building up this weekend, and especially next week. It looks like it's going to hit California again. So they'll be dealing with some more flooding issues. I think the good news out of any of this, though, is that a lot of the western states, which had been really dry several winters in a row, not last winter, they got lucky, but several winters in a row, they've been dealing with widespread drought in a lot of those areas and enhanced risk to wildfires and concerns for that are down this year. And a lot of the western snow mountains are packed with snow, which is good as well. The northern Rockies, not so much, and that feeds the Missouri River, and that might be important later on this spring. We'll have to watch that. But for the most part, everything is looking is good out there, especially for any of those that do farming there west of the Continental Divide.
Well, we are talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here today on AOA. John, let's move to South America. And I know you and I have really been talking the last couple of months, and you've had a seemingly, compared to some other folks out there, you've had a pretty spot-on forecast for Brazil, Argentina, you know, here for the last few months. So kudos to you on that. And I think in terms of some of the weather scares that have been out there on social media in Brazil and Argentina, it doesn't seem like a lot of those have really come to fruition, and it seems like they're getting timely rains where they need to, and overall things are looking pretty good still in South America, aren't they, John?
Well, I appreciate that, Jesse. But, you know, I mean, it's not like everything's been perfect down there either. I mean, they have had weather issues, and every single area of South America has had weather issues. I mean, the one spot that was looking just fantastic for a long time was Argentina, but then they went through a hot and dry spell of more than 2 weeks long that really took a bite out of their crop conditions and their soil moisture. They finally got some rain back in there last week, and actually it was really, really heavy. So especially in their driest sections of the country, it got some really heavy rain, you know, 6-8 inches of rain in a week. So that's a lot of pretty decent rain there. So it's helping to stabilize conditions there in Argentina. And you know, some areas that had issues, they went away, they come back, they just keep coming in and out. I mean, there's no real good spot down there right now, but there's no real horrible spot either. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of variability, and usually variability means we don't see great numbers. And I think that's why we've seen a lot of production forecasts come down quite a bit, especially in Brazil. USDA obviously didn't go down as far as some of the other forecasters out there, but it's backed definitely away from the records that they were expecting before the season started. Sure. So it's not like we didn't have, you know, issues with production. We do, but they're not as widespread extreme as probably a lot of the fears were out there. But yeah, I mean, we're still harvesting. We're still trying to figure out exactly what's coming out of those fields, and everybody that grows soybeans knows how hard that is to do during the middle of the season. So, we're still only about halfway through the harvest there in Brazil, in terms of soybeans. So there's still a lot to pull out of the field yet and see what actually happened during the season.
Definitely. Well, and that's a good point, a good way to frame it up, John. And obviously still, I mean, we're going to be talking South American weather for this week ahead. Any major features that we need to keep an eye on here this week, John?
Well, it does look wetter for a lot of the drier spots in the continent. So Argentina's got a nice wave of showers moved through today. It moves into southern Brazil, which I mentioned kind of went drier. And so they're going to get some better rain here this week. Central Brazil, which had been pretty wet, is actually going to be a little bit on the drier side here this week. And then everything fills and flips around going into the weekend. So overall, if you look at it, if you looked at a 7-day precipitation map, it would look pretty wet across the entire area. Maybe not as good in some places that they want it, and maybe a little too much in some others. But overall, it's a pretty decent week of weather down there.
All right. Well, John, appreciate the forecast as always, and you joining us here each and every week on Agriculture of America. Thanks for the time, John. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll catch up with you next week.
That sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
John Baranek, DTN meteorologist, joining us here today on AOA with a look at the weather forecast for the week ahead. All right, coming up next, we're going to head back to the cattle industry convention a few weeks ago in Orlando, Florida. I sat down and had a conversation with then-president-elect and now officially the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Mark Isley from Wyoming. We're going to take a listen to that conversation. Coming up next, back with more here on AOA on the way right after the break.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Wanekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk up 24 to 1722, April up 23 to 1758, May up 25 to 1796, June milk up 23 at 1830. Live cattle markets were mixed. Feeder cattle mostly higher as the live cattle markets continue to move mostly lower. Now, the market could see some support once traders see how boxed beef demand is going to lean early this week. But so far, a big sell-off in the live cattle markets today. Feeder cattle mostly higher at the beginning of the week as the market continues to thrive on the cattle market's strong fundamentals with the short cattle supply. February live cattle down 37 cents to 184.25. March feeder cattle up $1.67 to 248.58. Hog markets continue to move lower as the market lacks enough support to justify moving any bit higher as February hogs down 10 cents to 173.57. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were slightly higher. Soybeans also moving mostly higher, even though the forecasts are favorable in South America, short covering helping to support the markets. Now, wheat prices, they were mixed with losses in Kansas City and Minneapolis. New crop corn up 1 to 469 and a quarter. New crop beans up 5 to 1168 and 3 quarters. March wheat in Chicago up 3 quarters to 597 and a half. Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome Welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for sticking with us here today. Well, as I mentioned, I've been traveling quite a bit, having a lot of conversations at various conventions and more the last couple of weeks. And I know we have others coming up here on tap soon. Commodity Classic, of course, at the end of the month here in Houston, Texas. Before that, here later this week, I'm going to spend some time at the National Farm Machinery Show in Louisville, Kentucky as well. So my travels will continue. But again, with all the traveling, and able to really have some great conversations and talk with a lot of folks throughout the industry. And one of the conversations I had that I wanted to share was with the newly elected president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Mark Isley from Wyoming. I talked to Mark during the Cattle Industry Convention back here just a few weeks ago in Orlando and got some of his thoughts on various topics that he is watching and that NCBA is watching here in the early part of 2024. Let's listen to that conversation with Mark Isley, now the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And joining us now here during the Cattle Industry Convention at NCBA Trade Show, he is the president-elect of NCBA. Mark Isley is with us. Mark, it is good to see you, sir. Thanks for taking the time to join us here at AOA today.
Pleasure to be here. Absolutely.
Let's talk about NCBA's 2024 policy priorities. I know you guys have rolled those out here during convention, and among the things you guys are looking for in 2024, let's start with the farm bill, because I know that is something that is on the minds of many, many folks here in agriculture, wondering how long is it going to take for us to get a new five-year farm bill done? Talk about your views and where we're at with things, Mark.
You know, it's we are optimistic, but we're realists about it, too. The Congress is divided. They can't seem to want to agree on how to do it. There's fractures within their own party that are impediments to that. Leadership kind of seems to be afraid to step up. However, some of the ag committees seem to still be focused. I'm optimistic that they might get a handle on some of those things, and maybe we will actually see something.
I know in terms of what's in the farm bill, I know a lot of folks on the grain side, they're talking reference prices and things like that, sure. But from the cattle side, a livestock side, I know there's some key animal health provisions that we're looking to get reauthorized in the farm bill, et cetera, et cetera. Talk about some of those things you guys want to see in the actual text.
The livestock mandatory reporting has got to be in there to stabilize our markets, to give people an idea where that's going. We have to have those risk protection programs in place. We have to have the disaster assurances in place, because everyone has a flood, a fire, a natural disaster that can hit them. Those are important. Of course, we're also working on some other things. This National Animal Vaccine and Veterinary Countermeasures Bank is huge with foot and mouth disease and any of those things at our shores. We're trying to keep them out. So those are some of the top ones. I mean, the list is still long and distinguished, mm-hmm. but that we'll hit those three right off the top.
Definitely. Well, I think with foot and mouth disease, of course, that makes my mind jump to the Paraguayan beef issue, and I know that's still a topic that a lot of folks are watching and concerned about. I'm sure it's a topic here for folks this week, isn't it?
Absolutely. We have repeatedly asked USDA to stop those imports. Please bolster those protections. Let's make sure we're getting some clean trade on this thing, that they're not sending stuff to us. And USDA will literally not return our calls. We don't understand that. They seem to be more concerned with protecting their, and I'm being real blunt here, they seem more intent on protecting their diplomatic relationship and doing it with consumers, and rather than working out for the rural folks. The Uruguayan meat and the Brazilian meat, if it clears, that's one thing. But let's see that paperwork. Let's see that testing. Are those protocols in place? I can't begin to understand why we're not addressing those things.
And I have to agree with you on that. I've said this multiple times here on the show and in conversations with folks. To me, it just seems like common sense that we need to make sure things are updated. And I know there's been the pushback, well, you know, all the channels and this and that, and, you know, we've gone through all the hurdles, but a lot of this is outdated stuff, Mark.
Well, and it's not only not outdated, but we're on the same page with some of our North American trading partners. Mm-hmm. Mexico and Canada, they're as fearful as we are. because they can see those threats. They're proactively trying to do something, but they need America to step in. Mm-hmm. And our USDA is and some of them are great people, but they're not stepping up to the plate, and I think it's coming from up above.
I know another topic here at Cattle Convention and another big issue has been the attacks on the beef checkoff and a lot of the issues surrounding that. I mean, get us up to speed, some of the latest you're hearing in conversations with folks here at the convention about
you
that.
You know, we've got to protect the checkoff. The people who oppose it, they basically tell lies. They do distortions. They don't have the facts. I'm not sure they really understand the industry. We do the thing about abuse and fraud and all those things, the accusations they make. We've been through multiple audits with USDA, the Cattlemen's Beef Board. It's all available to the public. I think there were odds and ends, small things that happened years ago from the General Accounting Office. It's all been cleared up. It's all been fine. We've passed those audits. We're in great shape. We have to advertise and we have to promote beef in other places besides in our own home states. The big municipalities is a huge market. The Pacific Rim is a huge market. We can sell products overseas that we can't give away here in the states. So some of the Middle East is a great place for our products. The checkoff also helps us with the dietary guidelines. It helps us with the medical profession. They have to be informed. And those are all functions of the things that the beef checkoff does. You know, you've got to advertise and you've got to self-promote. And we've always had that. A lot of commodity groups have that. And I think there's huge support for it here, despite the naysayers. And who steps up for the industry, the cattle industry, on all these issues like flood and fire and drought relief and price protection, mm-hmm. animal, you know, health and well-being, international trade, and CBA? We're the only ones that stand up and put our money where our mouth is. There are great firewalls between policy and checkoff. Everything is accounted for. So for those who doubt that, we'll show you the books. No problem.
All right. Let's go to some other topics, too. I know some other priorities, thinking about regulatory issues. We went through the WOTUS fight. Now we move, you know, ahead looking at other things with the Endangered Species Act. I know that's an issue. Some of those things that are out there, it feels like a more red tape out there.
It is more red tape, and I've experienced a lot of that, mm-hmm. and producers are put in an impossible situation that's difficult for them to maneuver. The waters of the U.S. is an example. We've got this great decision from the Supreme Court. Give us clarification. Give the producers something to work with. And EPA and the Corps of Engineers is trying to thread the needle by way of regulation. If they can't get it in legislation, they do it by regulation. Same with the agencies. They forget their mandates, their mission to protect a resource or use a resource in multiple use scenarios, and they try to regulate. And then we know it's coming from the top down. But it's the problem is, I think it's real simple. Producers are willing to meet a target, but the target keeps moving. It's an impossible one to find and hit the way you need. So it's tough to plan for it.
I know one other policy priority I saw in there as well. It's tax season right now. There is a lot of talks.
But the target keeps moving. It's an impossible one to find and hit the way you need. So it's tough to plan for it.
I know one other policy priority I saw in there as well. It's tax season right now. There is a lot of talk surrounding some of the tax law potential changes or shifts or whatever we have kind of going on right now in Washington, D.C., and stuff around the estate tax, debt tax, et cetera. What are some of your thoughts there? What is NCBA looking at this year?
That's going to be one of my main battles I fight this year. The tax billing, the tax law, the death tax has got to be addressed in a way that's acceptable to our members. They foist a lot of that tax load on us to pay for liberal policies and things that we never wanted to pay for. Lots of folks have paid for their place several times over, and in some cases they can't keep them. They end up losing it. You can't transition to the next generation if you lose the thing to taxes and start out in the red to begin with. And the country wants to be fed. They like being healthy. They like a good source of food. Got to have some transition. And it's not just us. It's the other industries we support. That we have incentive to buy equipment, get improvements for a ranch. That supports local economies. It supports individual industries, industries that are our sponsors and supporters, which we are tremendously grateful for. But when you take those incentives away, it's impossible for our industry to move forward.
Mark, we've covered a lot here in a short amount of time, but as you're stepping into the role as president, I'm sure excited for what 2024, what lies ahead here as you take over as president of NCBA, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Looking forward to getting out and meeting people, see what's going on in their world, see how we can help, see what I can learn from them.
Definitely.
I'm excited. Thank you.
Mark Isley, NCBA president-elect. Thanks for joining us here at the Cattle Industry Convention. Mark, we'll look forward to talking again real soon.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
Once again, Mark Isley, now the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, talking with him back at the Cattle Industry Convention in Orlando. Before we get to our break, one news headline I want to share. A U.S. district judge ruled that a portion of the recent Massachusetts law that bans the sale of pork if a pig is held in a confined space is unconstitutional. However, Boston media reports say the judge is allowing that part of the law to be severed and the rest will stay in effect for now. Judge William Young made the ruling following a lawsuit by pork processors and other pig farmers who believed the pork law was unconstitutional. The law, called the Prevention of Farm Animal Cruelty Act, was approved by voters in 2016 and banned the sale of eggs, veal, and pork from animals held in conditions deemed cruel. The portion of the law getting argued was an exemption that allowed the sale of pork from federally inspected slaughterhouses in Massachusetts that don't meet requirements as long as the buyers take possession of the pork while on their premises. So a court ruling that will definitely be watched in the pork industry. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk with Jasmine Alboron from Seed Your Future about Green Careers Week. That's next on AOA.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
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 Go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pluto TV is TV the way it should be, free. With over 300 channels, thousands of movies and TV shows costing zeros of dollars. So if you want to watch shows like Ghosts, The Walking Dead, CSI, Star Trek, or The Price is Right, well, the price is right. It's free. Hit movies like Braveheart, Sonic the Hedgehog, Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, or Mean Girls won't cost you a thing because everything is free. All you have to do is download the app, which, by the way, is also free. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
On February's episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discuss the relationship between the corn and poultry and egg industries with John Del Monte from NCGA, along with Mary Alice Kane and Jenna Gress from the USA Poultry Egg Export Council, known as USAPEEC.
We are a trade association. We represent the U.S. poultry and egg industry who exports, and we represent all sectors. Anyone who's touched by exports and is involved in the industry can be a member of USAPEEC.
From corn's perspective, obviously the poultry industry is, you know, is a big customer. So as Mary Alice and Jenna both spoke to, you know, exports are obviously an area that they specialize in. Exports account for 28 cents a bushel to the value of corn. So corn has a very vested interest in what poultry exports are doing.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
National FFA Week is February 17th through the 24th, a week set aside for FFA students across the country to share how FFA impacts members every day. I'm National FFA Secretary Grant Norfleet from Missouri. What better way to show your support of FFA than to get involved in FFA Week? Whether it's in person, on the phone, or via social media, be sure to share your FFA stories during hashtag FFA Week, February 17th through the 24th.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now on the program, happy to connect with Jasmine Alberon, Executive Director for Seed Your Future. We're talking about connecting students to many vital ag jobs, horticultural jobs, etc. Jasmine, thanks so much for the time and joining us on the program today. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing good. Thank you for having us.
Well, I know Green Career Week is coming up March 4th through the 8th, and this is in a week and an exciting time to talk about connecting students with some of these vital jobs throughout the ag industry, et cetera, et cetera. So talk a little bit about Seed Your Future first and some of the push you guys have during Green Career Week. Let's just start there.
Absolutely. Thank you. So Seed Your Future is the movement to promote horticulture and inspire people to pursue careers working with plants. Like, it's all about plants. And we envision a U.S. where everyone understands the power of plants and is aware of the promising careers in the art, the science, the technology, and business of horticulture. Again, all of those plant jobs, because it's very diverse, and not only the plant careers, but also all of the careers working in technology, in research, in HR, marketing, graphic design. You know, people don't think or realize all of the different careers that are in the industry, which is one of the things that led us to creating Green Career Week, to show students that variety and benefits of working in careers in that horticulture, ag, floriculture space, forestry, et cetera, right? Anything that's grass, bush, tree, plant, et cetera. There are so many careers that are a part of that. And it's the food that we eat, the landscape we live and play in, the environments that we are in. So it's all around us, but people don't necessarily realize what are all the careers connected within the industry.
Well, you kind of alluded to it there a little bit, but let's dive a little deeper. I mean, why are horticultural jobs vital to America and American lives? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So the plant science jobs are the business of managing and using what we grow while maintaining the health of our soil, our air, our water. It's the well-being of our children, our communities, right? It's the world. Everybody has to eat. right? Mm-hmm. And we've become a bit disconnected of where our food comes from, and don't realize the careers that it takes to grow the plants, let alone get them from point A to point B, right? There are so many careers that are adjacent to that industry.
Let's talk about some of the various jobs that are out there for students right now, whether it be on the horticultural side or in the ag side. I mean, I know there is a wide array of industry jobs available mm-hmm. for young people. Share some of those jobs that are out there that maybe sometimes students don't necessarily think about.
Right. So first, students can go to our website and check out our 140 profiles that do a deep dive into those careers. But just an example, you can have agricultural engineer, there are biochemists, there are drone technicians, soil specialists, the people that are creating the next generation of containers, the transportation, moving again the plants from one point to another. There are things within floral design, so if students are creatives, there are careers that are touching the sustainability and environmental justice. So really, whatever passion students have, there is likely to be a job here, including those communications, marketing, graphic design, all of those other careers that also are important to highlight and help have this industry be successful.
Well, thinking about Green Career Week, of course, coming up again March 4th through the 8th, and all the work that you guys do at Seed Your Future to make sure students are prepared and folks are aware of these jobs, how can kids, educators, parents, how can we all participate in Green Career Week coming up, Jasmine?
It's really easy. Parents, teachers, students, anyone that wants to get connected to a professional through either setting up a field trip or having the professional come into the classroom and talk about their company as an employer, as a business, just have to send us an email, info@seedyourfuture.org. We will ask a few questions, you know, where are you located? What's the age range of the students? And then based on that information, we'll get them connected to a professional in their local community, right? That's the big thing we want. These students to realize these are local businesses in your backyard, right, that are connected to your community that can be your employer. And something like the floral industry, we have Valentine's Day coming up. They pick up a lot of part-time high school students, college students to help because this is one of the busiest seasons that they have. I mean, again, for students just to be aware of, oh, okay, that's something I can take advantage of. It's also really important, but connecting for Green Career Week is super easy. Again, shoot us an email and we will get something coordinated with you.
And let's give it a plug one more time for your guys' website, seedyourfuture.org. And, I was just looking at the website, and I mean, all the resources that you guys have there, you mentioned some of those earlier, but just for everything from looking at career profiles to information with your blog and more, there's a lot of information available for folks online, isn't there, Jasmine?
There is. We've really pride ourselves in being the hub of career exploration with anyone that is interested in working with plants, working outdoors, working in nature, right? So apart from those career profiles, we also list industry scholarships. So for those students that know they want to go into higher education, there's scholarships that can help offset some of the cost. Industry internships, right? Getting an idea of what you might want to do and getting to know companies is really good to participate in those. We have a where to study map that shows all of the 2 and 4 year plant science degrees across the country and Canada. We have a quiz. Most students, while they realize, okay, yes, I love nature. Yes, I love the outdoors. I like plants. But how does that turn into a job for me? Like, right, what would be a career path? So we have a quiz that students can take to help them get a short list of careers based on their specific interests. And then those careers get linked back to that long career profile. So they can see like, oh, here's other stuff that I could do as well. So just trying to be, a support for anyone that would want to consider coming into our industry.
Jasmine, great thoughts. I know folks, again, can learn more information online, seedyourfuture.org, seedyourfuture.org. We've been talking with Jasmine Alboron, Executive Director for Seed Your Future. Jasmine, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Once again, appreciate the time. Jasmine Alperon there with Seed Your Future. We're out of time. We're up against the clock here on AOA today. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we are going to talk about the latest Ag Economy Barometer with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University. Also, we'll talk year-end meat export numbers with Dan Hallstrom from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We're out of time. Thanks for listening to AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Scranton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
No.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items.